weeks ago, we started a series on how the brethren understand God's word. The Brethren Church is the denominational family that this church is a part of. And as we kind of went through that time together, one of the things that kind of caught our attention is the miracle that God wants to communicate with us at all. I don't know about you, but even when someone invites me to pray, sometimes I am struck just with this idea of how strange it is that God wants to hear from me. Anybody else ever have that impression? Like, all right, this God, he creates everything, he's over everything, everything was created through him, and yet he wants to hear from me, and he wants to talk to me. I think it's kind of a miracle. And if we were honest and we had the opportunity, we could just sit here and think about that for the rest of our time. Just how amazing it is that God wants to communicate with us. When we think about how God communicates with us, we think about nature through creation. How many of you does God speak to through creation? Me, big time. In fact, that's the place that I go to when I'm confused or I'm stressed or I'm in pain. I run to the woods. And that's where Jesus and I hang out and where I hear from him most clearly. But he speaks to us through events. He speaks to us through other people. God speaks to me a lot through my family. Don't do that anymore, right? The correcting, rebuking God. He speaks to us in tons of ways. And one of the primary ways, though, that the brethren look at how God speaks to us, it's through his word. And as we discovered a couple of weeks ago, it's not just through his word, but it's through his words, because the brethren understand God's word in three pieces. We understand that there's an outer word, which is what we refer to as the Bible, as scriptures. We refer to another word called the inner word, which is the Holy Spirit. And then the living word, which is Jesus himself. And the brethren understanding of how we relate to God's word and how we understand it is that the outer word, the Bible, and the inner word, the Spirit, they work together to tell a story and to testify about the living word, Jesus. And so we can look at the life of Jesus in Scripture. We can listen to how the Holy Spirit is helping us to understand and maybe highlight and promote different things about Jesus in the text that we're looking at. And we can understand what the writers of the written word were trying to communicate. And all of that together moves us into a place of understanding deeper than if we were just to read the written word itself. Deeper than if we were even to understand it in its original languages and understand what the original hearers and the original writers were trying to say and to communicate. By taking all of those together, we come to a deeper understanding of what God is trying to communicate to us. We come to a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and what our life is like with him. So when we think about it in that way, and this is all recap still, for those of you who forget, like me, what we talked about a day ago, let alone 2 weeks ago. So Scripture, the outer word, written over like 1,600 years by many, many different people with different personalities and perspectives and priorities and styles. Different genres of literature are folded into it. It's really beautiful as a piece of literature, or pieces of literature. It's a book of books, if you will. It's quite something. It is the most reliable, the thing we can go back to again and again to gain knowledge of who Jesus is, to gain knowledge of what God is communicating to us. It's critically important. The brethren would say that it's our rule of life and faith. We go back to the outer word again and again and again, but not just the outer word. We expect that the inner word, the Holy Spirit, whose job is to teach us, to bring understanding to us, to translate, if you will, what it is that God is trying to communicate to us. And so we lean hard into this idea that this Holy Spirit speaks to us, could speak in an audible function, could speak through something that just pops off the page to us, a nudge, a whisper, however it comes to you, and any other ways it might come to you, the Spirit speaks and helps us understand what the word is saying. And again, testifies, they testify together to Jesus. The brethren would say that the life of Jesus, his example, who he says he is and what he's come to do, what he says about himself, is the key to understanding and marrying together the outer word and the inner word. What the written word is saying, what the Spirit is saying, should all kind of set and rest in the life of Jesus. He is the key to our interpretation. So now we're all caught up in this miracle that God wants to communicate with us. And he does it in all these ways, and one of the ways is the word or the words. The Bible is a story about life. From beginning to the end of the book, it's a story about life, how life was created, what happened to life, the way of life, how it was twisted and broken, and then the rescue, the redemption, the restoration of life. The whole Bible, from open to close, is a book about life. And in the middle, this thread about how love itself is the atmosphere in which life flourishes. Love itself is the atmosphere in which life flourishes. We can know that from looking at the outer word, from looking at the life of Jesus, who he says he is, what he says about himself and the Father, and we can understand that this is the picture that we get. This is what we're reading. This is what we're actually interested in hearing from God and what he is trying to communicate to us. The words on the page testify it. The Holy Spirit illustrates it, and Jesus himself provides it and secures it, and he models it for us. And that leads us into this next really amazing thing that the brethren understand about the Word of God, and that is that we would be a people conformed to the Word. And I know this word conformed typically has negative consequences, and we're going to allow that just to be out there and allow us to kind of live with that. And we are together going to read a couple passages of Scripture that help us unpack and understand what that means as we move forward today. So let's jump into that. Romans 12, 1 through 2 it's a really powerful section of Scripture. And it opens with this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So right off the bat, you see this word conform. The word conform, just in a very literal sense, means to be fashioned after something. Means to be fashioned in the way of something else. So the writer here says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So do not be fashioned after the likeness of this world. Now, an interesting thing about the grammar in this sentence that we don't normally pick up here is it's really in this a passive sense, almost like don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Don't be fashioned. Don't become fashioned into the likeness of this world. You got that? You hold on to it? Don't become fashioned into the likeness of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transformed is the word where we get our understanding of metamorphosis from. It's really close, actually, to that exact word. Metamorphosis, what do you think of when you think of metamorphosis? Any werewolves, okay? My man. Be careful when you ask a question that you know what the answer is going to be. Anybody else? Any high school biology students? Butterflies, a caterpillar, becoming a... Can you do that again for everybody? Woohoo! Becoming a butterfly. It's the transforming, becoming a new form, becoming a new species from a worm-like caterpillar into a majestic, beautiful butterfly, literally to become like a different species. Now, the interesting thing about the grammar in this sentence also around this word is it is passive as well. So if we were to read this with the understanding that we now have, don't allow yourself to become fashioned into the likeness of this world, but instead, allow yourself to become a new species. Allow yourself to take on another form. You with me so far? If you're with me so far, then you're asking yourself the question, well, what species do we become? I'm glad you asked that. Because the writer of this text also, earlier on, gives us a pretty solid clue, some pretty solid information about the species that we're to be formed into. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, there's that word again, to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So here we are in one of, as I was growing up, this was the power verse that some mentor gave to me when I was little and didn't understand what was happening around me. God works all things for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And that's where they ended, right? So that was the explanation for me of why something was happening around me that I didn't understand. You don't have to understand it. God's just going to make it work out for the good. Well, it doesn't feel good, right? How many of you had things go on in your lives that you didn't understand, you didn't want, you didn't ask for, you didn't think you deserved, but at the same time, it was there? And if all you did was look at this text and go, he's going to work it for my good, but this hurts. It doesn't feel good. It's not what I want. So this could be an exercise in looking at the three words, the outer, inner, and living, but we're gonna pull forward into, actually, there's a comma in the original language, not a period at the end of 28, and it explains what the good is. And the good is that we would become conformed into the likeness of Jesus. Remember what conformed means. To allow yourself to be fashioned into the likeness of the other, right? So this new species that we're meant to become like through the transforming of our minds, and that's a whole other set of sermons for us to get into, but this new species that we become like is literally Jesus. Jesus, the living word. So the outer word, the written word itself, is testifying to the living word, Jesus, that we ourselves in our relationship with the word will become like him. We'll become like him. Now, show of hands, how many of you are like, man, that's amazing. I really believe that I'm going to be like Jesus someday. I know. It's a miracle. Almost as incredible as God wanting to communicate to us is this absolute passion that God has that we will become like Jesus. God works all things in our lives so that we would become like him, even the hateful, hurtful, painful stuff. He uses it to make us more like Jesus. Oh, is that news? What were we like before sin happened? Were we sinful or sinless? Sinless, logical, right? Do the math. What do we know about Jesus' life? Sinless. Were we in perfect communion and relationship with God with nothing in between us in the garden before sin? What do we know about Jesus? We just sang a song. He only did what he saw the Father doing, only said what he heard the Father saying, only moved when he felt the Father moving. He had an uninterrupted relationship with the Father like we did. So, is it a miracle to our ears that God would make us like Jesus? Yes. Yes, it is. But the bigger story is that we were created to be like that in the first place. In the garden, before sin, so we're to become like Jesus, which means we're to become a people conformed to the Word. So how do we become conformed to the Word? Here's another thing we learn from Jesus. Jesus was considered to be a rabbi. Rabbi meant teacher in the Hebrew language, but it was more than just teacher. It was rabbis would call disciples, and in the culture of the day, they would call the best of the best, top gun, the highest scores in Hebrew school. They would call them out, and they would say, come follow me. And what that meant was, you come and live my life with me. Like, you wear the same clothes, you eat the same food. If you're a left-handed person and your rabbi is a right-handed person, guess what you learn to do? Become a right-handed person. You use the same language, you eat the same foods, you become like the rabbi. The rabbi only calls you if the rabbi believes that you can do what he does, that you can be like he is. And the rabbis of the day had this incredible pattern that seems to be super effective, and we've seen it echoed throughout history in lots of different ways, the trade unions, etc. But we have this model of invitation and challenge. We have the rabbi would teach the disciples how the rabbi saw the world, how the rabbi understood the scriptures, and they call that the Haggadah, Hebrew word Haggadah. That was the teaching of the rabbi. We'll encounter this word again, but a couple weeks ago, we looked at a piece of scripture where Jesus said, my yoke is easy. And he wasn't talking about sunny side up. It's an egg reference. He was talking about his teaching, his understanding and interpretation of the scripture of the day, the Hebrew scriptures. Come and follow me meant come and take on my teaching. So the invitation was to the Haggadah, and then to the application of the teaching, which was the halakha, which means to the walk, to the walking out of the yoke of the teaching. So this is the context that we're reading into. We're understanding when Jesus says to the disciples these beautiful stories of him calling these uneducated fishermen, right, and these tax collectors and these just ne'er-do-wells, right? He's calling them out of the life that they're in, which, by the way, wasn't the best of the best. They had flunked out of Hebrew school. That's why they were doing the other things. And he said, come follow me, invitation, to come and take on my yoke. Come and understand what I understand. Come and understand the word the way I understand the word, Jesus is saying. And then the challenge, come live like me. Come walk it out and apply it like me. So Jesus is a rabbi like all the other rabbis in the sense of issuing an invitation and a challenge, but he's different than the other rabbis in that he calls you and me Hebrew school dropouts, the people that couldn't cut it, right? Not the cream of the crop. He calls you and me the broken ones, the people that would never raise our hands in public and believe and say that we believe that one day we'll be like Jesus. We're the ones that he calls. And he says, come follow me. Come learn the way that I interpret the word. Come learn the way that I live with the Father. And come see how I apply it. Come learn how to live is what Jesus says to us. And it is through this relationship with our rabbi and through this process of accepting the invitation and taking on the challenge, right? And sometimes it's hard. Jesus says hard things to the people that are following him, like, no, don't go back and tell your dad goodbye. Don't go back and bury your loved one. Don't, right? He says hard things. Like, trust me. Come out and walk on water. Ridiculous things. And in all of that, he's showing us how to live and showing us how to become like him. So, have I presented to you the Haggadah for the day? That we are to be people conformed to the word, to allow ourselves to be fashioned into the image of another, to become like another species, that species being Jesus, like we were supposed to be, like we were made in the first place. You guys got that on lock, right? You're with me still? All right, we're going to try a little something. We're going to walk back into this text that we were in a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the interplay between the outer word and the inner word and helping us see Jesus and learn things. We're going to dive into that now. And Jeremy, if you can come on up and just be ready. I'm going to ask you to look back at this text. I'm going to ask you not to ask yourself any of the questions we asked a couple of weeks ago, like, what do you like, what don't you like, what did you learn about Jesus? I'm going to ask you about the characteristics of Jesus that you see in this text. Like, you look up there and you go, ah, Jesus is like this. I'm going to pray over you. You can follow me in prayer. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit, the inner word, would illuminate your minds and show you the rabbi in this text. We're going to give you a couple of minutes to look, and then I'm going to ask you just to shout out the nature and characteristics of Jesus that you see. With me? We're moving into Haggadah, or Halakah, the walk, okay? All right, let me pray. Father, we're jumping back into this text that we looked at a couple of weeks ago here. And we might be tempted to say that we know it already. We went through it. We got everything we wanted out of it. But God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will show us that we're wrong, that there's more, that your word is living and active. So God, specifically in these moments, God, we pray that you would open our eyes to see the character of your Son, Jesus, in these words. What he's like. God, through this, we pray that you'd help us to know him more deeply. This isn't just an exercise in grammar or pattern recognition, that it's an invitation to come and know you and to follow you. So God, open our eyes, open our hearts, in Jesus' name. Got something, just kind of look me in the eye, go like this if you're doing a prayer, wave your hand. I can't wait to do this with you guys. Okay. What of Jesus do you see in these words? These are his words. This is Jesus speaking. So what do you see of his character, of his nature, what he's like in these words? He's a restorer of life. What else? He's a demonstrator, a mentor even, right? We could say a teacher. In fact, that's up there, right? Learn. You learn from a teacher. What else? Intimate, right? He knows what's going on. He's close, knows you. What else about the character of Jesus here? He lives freely. He's free. How many would look at this and go, man, that person's compassionate, the person that said that? I got a couple hands back there. This is a compassionate person that's saying this. That? A companion. Get away with me. Come be with me. say here? You'll learn to live freely and lightly because that's how he lives, yes? There's a sense of him being gentle, isn't there? It's a gentle person that says these words to somebody else. You see how we can look into text and not just be trying to observe something that we're supposed to do, but we can actually know the living word, Jesus. We could keep on pulling some items out of here if we chose to. He's pretty good at hospitality, it seems, right? Come away with me, come be with me. I'm gonna show you rest. You'll be refreshed, right? That's somebody that likes to be hospitable and gracious towards someone else. All right. You feel like you're in the flow of this a little bit? All right, we're gonna move to the next phase of our exercise. This time, we're gonna go back to the teaching directly that we are to be fashioned after the likeness of Jesus. That God will use everything in our lives. He's obsessed with this. That we will become like Jesus. That's the teaching, okay? We're gonna go a little bit further in the walking of it out, and we're gonna pray, and we're gonna ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you and to me where he is making us more like Jesus. To help us with that, we pulled some characteristics of Jesus out of some other pieces of scripture. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's something that you can look at and kind of see where these characteristics might be present in your own life, in your own development. This isn't a game. This is the teaching of Jesus being walked out right now. Our rabbi speaking to us through all these centuries, right now into this moment, helping you understand that he's serious about this. You should see him in you. So we're gonna pray, because it's not easy to do that for many of us. We're gonna see what the Holy Spirit, the inner word, does. Let's pray. God, I'm having this sense that some of us are feeling like an eggshell cracking and peeling. And there's light coming in some places, in some ways that we didn't anticipate, expect, or even know could happen. And I'll be the first to confess with my brothers and sisters that it's hard for me to accept that you made me to be like him. It's difficult for me, even when I read the words off the page, to accept that you call me to live like him. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that in your tenderness and your kindness, you would bring wisdom today where we lack it, that you would open up our hearts and our eyes and our minds to see where it is you've been at work, because we know you've been at work. And your word tells us that you're faithful to complete the work that you've begun. So God, in these next moments, we pray that you would reveal to us how we are becoming like Jesus. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we just again just accept that you're alive and you're present and you're active in us right now. So in all the ways that this has been difficult, God, we celebrate the fact that you've at least nudged us in the journey, and all the ways that you've busted in, we say thank you and keep breaking in. Now, I'm not going to ask you to call out how you think you're like Jesus today, because I think that would be difficult for many of us. Our sense of, our cultural sense of modesty would make that difficult and probably not very helpful. But I want you to raise your hand if, looking at this list or thinking about the Jesus that you know, if you can identify parts of your life that demonstrate the character that Jesus also has. Awesome. Now, where I would like you to speak up, if you can, is to tell me what that was like for you. What was that like for you to think about who Jesus is and then to think about how you might be like him in some way? Was it hard? Some of you would say it was hard. Only a few of you said it was hard. What do the rest of you think? What was that experience like for you? Hopeful. Hopeful. Exciting. What else? Humbling. Humbling. It's good because he's humble. Anybody else? Said overwhelming, she said encouraging to see that he's been at work in some areas over time. Amen. This is what it's like to follow the rabbi, to be a disciple of a rabbi. Over time, your life begins to look like their life. Over time, your understanding becomes their understanding becomes your understanding. The way that you walk it out becomes the way that they live it out. Over time, when we follow the rabbi, we become conformed to the word. This isn't a mystery. This is something we know. And I'm going to ask you to do something that for some of you might be harder, and for some of you it might be easier than the last exercise. This is the last one, I promise. One of the greatest joys of my life is to look around at the people I'm with and to see Jesus in them. It's one of the most amazing things to look at someone, even a stranger, and to be looking for God, because I know that they're made in his image, everyone. And so I want you to take another step deeper into this halakha, this walk of understanding that we're all made in the image of God, that image was marred and warped and destroyed when sin entered in, right? This is the interpretation. And that God is putting us back over time, bits and pieces of us, becoming more and more like we were supposed to be in the first place. This is the walk. This is the journey. This is the Christian life. One more step in. I want you to attempt, look around at the people in this room. Some of you are newer, and this is going to be super scary and unproductive for you, so just chill, right? Just sit, you have total freedom to not do this. And for those of you that aren't newer, and it's still terrifying to think about what I'm going to tell you to do, you don't have to do it. But think about it. We're going to pray about it. I'm going to ask you to look around the room and look at people and identify how you know them, how they are like Jesus. Scary? How they are like Jesus. And then if you feel led, get up and go tell them. The Jesus I see in you is this. Jason, the Jesus that I see in you is a loyal, lion-hearted protector. Fights to the end for the ones you love. I see that Jesus in you. Let me pray, ask the Spirit, the inner word, to bring us understanding, to shed light on what God is doing and communicating to us here. We'll see where it goes. Father God, so many places in your word you tell us that you're putting things back the way they're supposed to be, including us, specifically us, back into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. In this moment right now, in these moments that we're sharing, God, as you're wooing us closer to you, God, we're saying yes for now, at least as far as we can. We're accepting this. We're accepting what you're saying. God, and we want you to break in. We want you to show us, to teach us how to live because of it. So God, in these moments, we pray as we look around our family, your family, God, your sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters here, that you'll once again illuminate our minds, that you'll open our eyes and our hearts to see how they are like you, how your character, your image is found deeply embedded in them. And God, as you do, if you do, God, we pray that you would just give us the courage to get up, even cross the room, go up the balcony, come down from the balcony, whatever that means, God, to encourage our brother or sister with that word. Pray now, you just take this time, God, to do a work in us. Amen.